Off the ball on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.
How's it going? You're very welcome along to Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you until 10 o'clock this evening. Good show lined up. Cora Staunton is the first ever female GAA player to bring out an autobiography, and Cora is going to join us in studio just after 8 o'clock to look back on her four-time All-Ireland winning career and also, of course, talk about the ongoing controversy in the Mayo ladies football camp. Keith Andrews will be on the football show. John Giles coming up as always at 7:30, looking ahead to the Manchester Derby, which is live and off the ball this weekend, and also looking back on a really interesting week in the Champions League. 53106 is the text number. Live as always on all our social channels, so do leave a comment if you want to get in touch. In studio, Richie McCormack, how are you?
Nathan, you all right?
I'm all right. And Kieran Cunningham, how are you?
Salut. Good, yeah.
All good, yeah? You're happy? Yeah.
I'm always happy.
That's all right. That's all right. You were talking.
That's not true.
I know.
Cora Staunton then is in after 8 o'clock. She's on the long list for the Air Sports Book of the Year.
Mm.
Does everybody who releases a book get on that? I don't mean I've just been
reading.
Cora's
I don't want to cast aspersions on her or anything.
Worthy. It's more than worthy. This is the long list. It will be.
Yeah, but it's a very long list every year. But the short list is always. Is always very tight, and there's generally a lot of quality in the short
list. There's 23 on the long list.
Yeah. But it's the most credible. Like, there's a couple of these awards, and it is the most credible of the Sportsbook Awards. And it's, to me, of the
there's a couple of them, and we're not going to name any names.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
There's a couple of them that they have a Reader's Choice Award, and sometimes the book has literally been released a day, and you'd have to wonder how the readers decided. Or,
yeah, and there's some of them have books on shortlists before they're published, so. Mm. You know, the publisher just
Are you on the judging committee for this? Can you give your opinion of
no,
what
but I've read, read a good few
book of the year.
I've read a good few, and to me, Andy Lee's book. I know we could be accused of bias because he sometimes sits in these chairs, but it's one of the best Irish sports books I've ever read. It's incredibly well written, and
Niall Kelly, who co-wrote it, won this award last year.
Yeah, with for Philip McMahon's book. But even though Niall wrote it and wrote it brilliantly, you hear Andy's voice all through it. Like, you can actually literally hear Andy's voice in your ear because we're well used to it, the way Andy talks. And he's very considered and very measured and very thoughtful. And there's just loads of like, Andy's done a hell of a lot of interviews over the years and made a hell of a lot of media appearances. But there's a lot of things people don't know about him that he just gets into. And even about, you know, his relationship with Maud, his wife now, and he's really open in a way that Irish men generally aren't, or sports people aren't in books. Like, it's
he was on the Late Late Show on Friday night as well. About
it was, and even, you know, his religion, which I don't think many people knew about. Like, I think people make assumptions because he was part of a group of sports people who came out for a yes vote in the repeal referendum that he would be, but he's quite a devout Catholic. So I think people have thought he was one. You know, He's a complex character, and there's a lot to him. And I thought also Paul Rouse's The Hurlers is outstanding. And it's between those two now. But I think Andy Lee's is just different class.
Yeah, David Fitzgerald's book is among those nominated. Tony Ten, which was released a good bit earlier in the year. Generally, a lot of these books are just coming out.
Yeah, a really good book. Deserves to be. I'm glad it's in there just in a sports list because I think Declan Inch was hoping it would be. Because it's sometimes included in non-fiction categories, but it's very much it can be classed as a sports book. So
yeah, so the shortlist, I assume, will come out in the coming weeks. Owen Sheehan from Off the Ball is among the judging panel and is open to bribes, he tells me, ahead of his impending fight with Tony McGregor.
That there is some weight behind this competition? Because it suggests that any weight there is behind this competition
is taken now gone.
Yeah, it's taken a dent with Owen Sheehan's involvement.
So Philly McMahon won it last year, Kieran Donaghy won it the previous year, and John Leonard won it in 2015, since it's become the Air Sport Book of the Year. So that's three GAA in a row.
That's interesting, and they're all kind of ghosted autobiographies. So it would be refreshing if you got a book outside of that. But I think Andy's does have a really strong case. But I do like, you know, what people call concept books, like Paul Rouse's book, telling a story of a time that a lot of people wouldn't know much about.
Yeah, because last year, so the Philly McMahon book was brilliant. I remember The Ascent which I thought was the best book of the year on cycling.
Yeah.
Didn't get it, and maybe with Paul Rouse fits into that category.
Yeah,
well,
like I thought, to me, the Ascent should have won it, and the other one I would have put in there is Michael Walker's Green Shoots, which wasn't even on the long list. But I think that can be a problem with the publishers, because the year before, Dave Hannigan's drama in the Bahamas about Muhammad Ali's last fight, that wasn't on the list, and that should have been, to me, it should have won it, and it wasn't even the list. But I think the publishers have entered, so you can blame the publishers in those cases, I think.
The news round brought to you this evening with Screwfix.ie, championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products. You were talking last night, Richie, during the news round, I heard, about Trump's press conference and the clashing with Jim Acosta. Have you seen what's happened today with the video that was released by...
Well, accusations have been doctored to make it look like a karate chop on the intern's hand. But
so people,
it's become like a halftime discussion, though. Was it a penalty? You know, was it mic to hand? You know,
well, what they've done... So that kind obviously of reporter. People have the technology, so there's various clues that it has been in some way doctored. But what they've discovered is that the frame is frozen three times on the exact moment where his hand comes into contact with the female intern, which makes it look like he has chopped down.
But it's remarkably like that Simpsons episode where Homer is alleged to have touched the bottom of the childminder, and there's the hard copy piss take that comes on. It's like, no, Mr. Simpson, please, no. And they just pause the video where it looks like he's edging towards the presenter and he's not. It's essentially that's what the White House has done with this Jim Acosta video.
It did get us talking about the craziest press conferences that you've covered.
Yeah.
What tops the list for you?
What's tops the list?
Now, you've been through Stan, you've been through Trapp.
Yeah, there's people. Yeah, like some of Trapp's were just mad. Because, I remember him doing a kind of. Was he impersonating a duck or something one day? And he would out doing a kind of weird dance in the middle of a press conference. And sometimes he would just start shouting and nobody knew what he was saying. And,
yeah, it did make me when they were talking about.
He fell off a chair
videos.
One day, which was quite funny.
Oh, yeah.
But there was one, just a quick one. The strangest one, I think, because of the context, was after. Ireland drew with Portugal in 2001, in June 2001, that 2002 World Cup qualifier.
Keane was brilliant.
Yeah, Keane, I think it was Keane's best game, and Luis Figo was absolutely great. Like two of the best top five players in the world at the time, both outstanding, and both scored from what I remember. I think it was Figo and Keane got the two goals. But Mick McCarthy came in, it was a great result for Ireland, because Ireland had drawn away to the Netherlands and Portugal already. So that put them in a strong position. And he came in and he sat down. And, do you remember the old press conference room in Lansdowne Road? It was a kind of a bandstand in the corner. Very strange little rickety room. But he came in, he sat down, and he pulled out a piece of paper out of his pocket. And he read out the Serenity Prayer. God grant me the courage to change the things I can. Serenity to accept the things I cannot and the wisdom to know the difference. That's how he opened the press conference. Which was,
where did it go from there?
Like, what he asked, well, any knocks, Mick? What's the next question?
There was a similar one, but during, you mentioned the Stan era. I can't remember what game it was. It was probably pretty late on in his reign at Croke Park. And Bobby Robson, who was obviously acting as a consultant at the time for the managerial reign of Staunton, was, I don't know if he was pushed into the press conference or he took it upon himself to come into the press conference, and then out of nowhere started launching this staunch defence of Staunton and his reign. And it was like, and Bobby clearly wasn't well at the time.
Was this when he then started rearranging the salt and pepper on the table?
No, that was out in Malahide. He did that a couple of times. Yeah. No,
this
was
literally after
the game.
It was
really interesting. So, yeah.
This is literally after the game. Yeah. Robson storms in and went into, unasked, went into a defence of Staunton. And it was just both bizarre and sad at the same time, because you could see a manager that was kind of failing in front of your eyes.
But there was a few during Stan's time. Like, there was one
pitch side out in Malahide where he walked over having everybody stood there for an hour in the freezing cold.
What was it, 37 seconds?
37 seconds, basically saying, like, I have nothing to say to you, and just walks off.
Yeah. And he came in another time, I remember, and I think he started off by saying, a lot of you didn't expect me to turn up for this or something like that. And people say, what? Like, who told you? And he said, walls have ears. Like, he'd come up with this mysterious stuff. And then another time he said a high up German delegation had gone to the Ireland-Wales game, the first game in Croke Park, and had been scathing about the atmosphere and the pitch and the crowd and everything. So we wonder, like, the high up German delegation, like, Germany had played Czech Republic that day.
Same
so he thought, no, they're going to be tied up. So what's he on about? So it turned out to be the head of ticketing of the German FA and a couple of security staff. But He just seemed to get bogged down in kind of
I really wish he never got that
stuff,
job.
Yeah.
I really wish he never got that, because you were talking about one of the best Irish players of all time.
Reputation.
Yeah, and you see what it's done for his managerial reputation. Like he's he had a brief brief spell as a defence coach somewhere since then.
That Coventry,
was it.
I think.
Yeah, was it not a League Two club? I can't remember. No, I can't remember offhand. Possibly Darlington, yeah. Because Walsall was before he joined Ireland,
We have some particular highlights of press conference. 2014, AC Milan, former Milan and Rangers player, now AC manager Gennaro Gattuso. He was manager of OFI Crete, who got off to a rocky start in the Greek league, losing their first three games in the spin. When his work ethic was questioned, he gave this response.
Sometimes winner, sometimes loss. I have many difficult. But me, work 12 hours, 15 hours a day in the VAC. But my job and my players is not touch. It's Malakia, 100% Malakia. And sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
That sounds like Trapattoni.
That last 5 seconds is 100% Trapattoni.
Sure, of course, Trap is the all-time classic.
Oh, with Bayern Munich.
Bayern Munich,
That's half Trap and half George Costanza's dad.
Like a water bottle empty or something. Was that what he called him? Struns.
Was editing a Trap press conference akin to doctoring what he was saying?
Jesus Christ.
I was the world's greatest expert of editing a three-minute Trapattoni answer into 35 seconds, but losing nothing he'd actually said.
Anybody who wants to witness an impossible job, it was editing down a Trapattoni clip to try and make sense for radio for like a 60-second bullet. It was just impossible.
What about Louis van Gaal? He was getting a hard time in 2015 as Manchester United manager, but he only cared about the opinion of the United fans.
Now, the fans are shouting every week, Louis van Gaal's army! Louis van Gaal's army! So also the fans are very satisfied with Louis van Gaal.
I miss that man.
That was near the end of the reign. This, I think, might have been right at the start of his reign. 2008, Daily Mirror football writer Simon Bird was on the wrong side of one joke in ear.
Three. Two. Okay, send it to your face. Good. All right. Okay.
Out
of order. Absolute fucking out of order. You are. And if you do it again, tell him now, f*** off and go to another ground. I will not come and stand for that f***ing crap. And that f***ing lie.
What the fact that they had a day off?
No, the fact that you're f***ing saying that I turned up and they f***ed off.
I read it. It doesn't say that.
You're f***ing trying to undermine my position already.
No, you read it. It doesn't say that. I knew you knew.
F*** off.
Who edited that? Because they sort of just gave up by the end.
Because I went over to the City Ground to interview Joe after he got the Nottingham Forest job a few years ago. And he...
The many forgotten jobs of Joe Kinnear.
Yeah, the interview was hilarious. Well, a few things that were very funny about it. He took down all the pictures of Brian Clough and of them winning the European Cup around his office and around the hallways, the stadium, whatever. And transcribing it, like every second word was a bleep as you got there. But it was very, very funny. And I remember once, I can't remember the name of the guy, but he was a holding midfielder. And he says, so I took this guy aside. I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm a holding midfielder. And I said, what the F is that? And he said, well, you know, I kind of stay in front of the station, myself in front of the centre half, take the ball off them and play it off. And he says, I'm effing 55. I could effing do that. He said, where did you get your effing arse up the field and try and get us an effing goal?
We have a man coming up in about 15 minutes' time who I think would very much agree with the sentiment. 53106 is the text number. We better get to some snooze. Ireland team has been named, but we are missing one of the all-time greatest Europa League games of all time involving Steven Gerrard's Rangers.
Yes, indeed. They are currently 4-3 down to Spartak Moscow. They had been leading 3-2, but two goals in about the space of 60-odd seconds has seen Spartak turn this one around just past the hour mark. Chelsea, for their part, are 1-0 up away to Bate Borisov. Olivier Giroud heading home and Emerson Cross to give them the lead in Belarus, and they are set fair to head through to the last 32 with a couple of games to spare. But as you mentioned, Ireland head coach Joe Schmidt making 12 changes to his side for Saturday's test with Argentina at the Aviva. Jordan Larmour continues at full back with Rob Kearney ruled out with a shoulder injury. Jacob Stockdale retains his place in the wing with Bundy Aki continuing at inside centre, where he's partnered by Robbie Henshaw. Keith Earls, Jonathan Sexton and Kieran Marmion come into the backs. And there's an all-new pack with captain Rory Best joined in the front row by props Keane Healy and Tyke Furlong. James Ryan partners Ian Henderson in the second row. And there's 127 caps worth of experience among the back row with Peter O'Mahony, Sean O'Brien and CJ Stander all returning. Meanwhile, Schmidt says injured Per Kearney and Gary Ringrose will be fit for the visit of the All Blacks. The coach was asked if he feels his side are on track for next year's World Cup.
Yeah, I'd never describe anything as being on track because there are so many variables between now and then that can upset what we're currently doing. Are we currently comfortable with where we're at? We're never comfortable. You know, and you've almost got to be resigned to the fact that you're never going to be totally comfortable because there's a couple of positions where we'd like to have more depth. There's a couple of positions where we've got some really good depth and we're not particularly comfortable making decisions week to week because we know there's some really good players who are going to be disappointed. But that drives that group forward and that's what exactly what we want from them. So, you know, post-Saturday, I'd like to think that we can look at things and be more comfortable that either we've put something together or we've got a few more things that we've learnt that we can put together for the following week and the weeks beyond it.
And meanwhile, Argentina head coach Mario Ledesma has made five changes to the side that lost 45-34 to the Wallabies in the final round of the Rugby Championship. There's a surprise in the team with lock Guido Petty named to start at open side. Elsewhere, Matias Alemano slots into the second row. Props Santiago Medrano and Santiago Garcia Botta both come into the side. And in the backs, there are starts for scrum half Tomas Subeli and wing Bautista Del Guy.
So does that mean Kieran Marmion is in pole position to start a scrum half against the All Blacks if Conor Murray doesn't make this miraculous return?
You'd think so, that the combination of Sexton and Marmion is being road tested with a view to them playing down the road, unless from nowhere the Lazarus-like return of Conor Murray for that game.
No great shocks in the team in general.
No. I think perhaps, I don't think people knew that Ringrose is going to miss out with a hip injury, but beyond that, it's pretty much as expected.
Yeah, obviously Henshaw and Aki know each other well, so it's not a huge issue in the centre. So Europa League, you Chelsea 1-0 up?
Yeah, Chelsea boss Maurizio Sarri started with Eden Hazard. He's just gone off actually in recent moments as they look to wrap up qualification for the knockout phase of the Europa League. Still 1-0 to Chelsea away to Bate Borisov, coming up on 20 minutes to go in that one. As I say, Olivier Giroud with the goal. One other game in Group L this evening. It's in Hungary where it's Vidi 1, Pauk Thessaloniki 0. As we alluded to there, Rangers involved in something of a classic away to Spartak Moscow. They had led 3-2 at half-time. Glenn Middleton, Daniel Kandeash and an own goal from Roman Eremenko had Rangers 3-2 in front, but two goals inside 60 seconds from Luis Adriano and Sofyan Hani have turned the game around in Spartak's favour. The game in that group sees Rapid Vienna and Villarreal drawing 0-0. Coming up at 8 o'clock, Arsenal can secure passage to the last 32 with a win at home to Sporting, while Celtic are badly in need of a win in Group B and they welcome RB Leipzig to Parkhead.
So, of course, Staunton coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll be talking mostly about her autobiography, which looks back on her, 23 years in the Mayo senior football team. She's only 36, so work it out. She was involved since she was just 13. We'll chat about that, winning 4 All-Irelands, where it all went wrong, and also the events of the last few months that are still ongoing, even though Carna Cun got back in, but it seems as though that the 12 players aren't going to be involved while Peter Leahy is in charge, and we hear today that he's going to be in charge for quite a bit longer.
Yeah, we got in contact with the Mayo Ladies Gaelic Football Board today. Peter Leahy continuing on as manager until the autumn of 2020. He this week presented a 3-year plan to the county board and a near unanimous vote ratified him for the duration. The manager, of course, at the centre, as you mentioned, of that row this summer that saw 12 inter-county players withdraw from the panel.
He's an old buddy of Joe Schmidt from when Joe originally came to Ireland to
Mullingar
Rugby Club, and that Peter Leahy was involved. I think he was a player at the time, but I think they were quite close, and still I think they still they're still in contact from what I gather. So
right. So Cora Staunton coming up after 8, from what she says there's absolutely no sign of a resolution or a breakthrough or any possibility of certainly Cora going back or any of the 12 players going back.
Well, certainly not with Leahy now ratified for another couple of years.
It's going to run and run
Yeah, Stoke manager Gary Rowett says James McLean has received death threats following last Saturday's draw with Middlesbrough. The Republic of Ireland winger was involved in an altercation with his own fans over his decision not to wear the remembrance poppy. The altercation resulted in McLean calling those fans uneducated cavemen on Instagram, something that earned him a warning from the FA. But Rowett says death threats and packages have been sent McLean's way. The PFA have offered their full support, while the Potters manager says McLean's reaction to the abuse was ill-judged.
Yeah, look, early in the season, we lost to Wigan. There was a majority that abused me. So, you know, you've got to, sometimes you have to not react to that. You know, I think, my belief is that everyone has a freedom of speech. Everyone's a freedom to follow the path that they want to follow. But what you can't then do is, if you choose that, you can't then react to the abuse. You can't then react to the criticism. You know, and it's as simple as that. And James knows that. I think it was a heat of the moment thing that he realised he shouldn't have done.
Sort of wrapped himself up in knots a little bit there. Freedom of speech, but he shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised he doesn't tell him to get off social media.
Well, he's been told. Yeah. Many times.
Well, he hasn't.
Generally returns.
He hasn't tweeted it, I'm thinking, about a year.
He's just on Instagram.
Yeah, so basically what he's doing on Instagram is writing notes on his phone and screen capping them and posting them on Instagram as messages, which is just as ill-judged as
But if is that because it's easier to ignore the replies on Instagram?
I'd imagine there's something to do with that, but even still, just put the phone down, mate.
Yeah, because you remember the statement that it released a couple of years ago on this issue, and it was widely praised for being very considered and convincing. But I would say he got a lot of assistance with that. There was a lot of thought put into that between agents and advisors. Whereas he's reacted this week angrily to stuff.
Well, and so understandably.
Understandably. So it's very different. It's a lot more visceral. And his wife has reacted because the family be getting stuff. So, and, you know, you can't blame them. But anybody in the public eyes and social media gets a lot of it. So you would question the worth of being on it, because...
We should all question the worth of being on it.
Absolutely, of course, yeah.
You've got 90 seconds to think about this, Kieran, while Richie's going through his last couple of stories. But Darren in Kilmaine was wondering what other books are on your Irish sporting autobiography, Mount Rushmore. Richie.
Right.
Going through a couple more stories.
Well, Kieran thinks four county sides are to have one league game moved to a neutral venue after being found to have broken the non-training rules implemented this year. Wexford's Hurlers and Armagh's Footballers both travelled to Portugal, while the Hurlers of Waterford and Leash's Footballers held training camps here at home during the club-only month of April. Leash, Waterford and Wexford all intend to appeal, according to Martin Brettany in this morning's Independent. Meanwhile, Dublin escaped sanction as their trip to France and Belgium, they say, was purely to visit World War I sites. Perhaps timely, given the time of year. And Stephen Reid says he'd be interested in the vacant Republic of Ireland under-21 manager's job. The former international midfielder holds a UEFA Pro licence, put that down, and was recently on the coaching staff of Premier League side Crystal Palace. Noel King retired from the position yesterday after 8 years in charge, and Reid told today's Keith Andrews show that it's key that someone with coaching experience gets the 21th job.
I think it's an important role. You know, you're looking at a 21s group that are still in, most of them in their development stage of their career. So I don't think it can go to someone that has no experience of that type of role or working in the game. For me, it'd be a difficult one to be a first job in football to head that up, because it's, you know, you've got to inspire this group. This hopefully will be the group that will then start dipping their toe into the senior set up, like you see with Gareth Southgate now. You've almost got players bypassing playing Premier League football almost and going straight from the 21s into the senior group.
Yeah.
So I don't see why that can't be a similar situation, where you've got a group that are improving and developing in the 21s that then join the senior group. Because I still remember when I played 21s football, I used to absolutely buzz for meeting up. And when we used to have a 21s game against the senior team, the senior 11, and it was brilliant. And anyone that did well in that group and that 21s game against the seniors, Mick would throw in. He would call them over for a couple of training sessions. But that's why it's so important that 21s group are looked after, that are developed with good quality coaching that can hopefully help them along the way.
Full interview up on Off The Ball social channels, the Keith Andrews Show live every Thursday. Keith will be up on the football show after 9. Give me 3 books, Kieran.
3 books.
You're a Mount Rushmore.
Okay. Paul Kimmage, Only a Game. Eamon Dunphy, Only a Game. Paul Kimmage, A Rough Ride. Both are quite raw, which is part of the attraction. They both ended up being far more polished riders than in those games. If you want to stick to autobiographies or just any sport?
Whatever. Well, best GA book, Chris O'Connor, The Club.
It's a very good book, but I would go Brendan O'Hare, Over the Bar. It's called A Personal Relationship with the GA, and it's just an incredible book.
I would go for this book. It is, without question, the greatest Irish sporting autobiography of all time. It's called Killa.
Who's it about?
By Kevin Kilbane.
The photoshopping that went on that cover.
Still available in all good bookshops right now. Kieran, thank you. Richie.
Yeah, just one clarification on the Peter Leahy situation. The autumn of 2021, not 2020, is when Leahy will stay on
Off the Ball and MaxSport.ie are trying to get you fit for Christmas. MaxSport.ie are Ireland's largest supplier of sports and fitness equipment with over 7,000 products covering over 60 different sports and fitness categories, including rowing machines, spin bikes, power racks and weight benches. Every night this week, we're giving you the chance to win a €100 gift card, and you'll also go into our end of week draw to win a €1,000 gift card. To enter, just to identify our mystery voice, who was asked if he could see the likeness between Off the Ball's Joe Malone and Wally of Where's Wally fame.
I completely see it, man.
Text your name and answer to 53106 for 30 cents. We'll announce the winner at the end of the show. It's all with thanks to MaxSport.ie. Visit their showroom in the Sandyford Industrial Estate in Dublin or shop online at MaxSport.ie. John Giles is up next.
Off the Ball on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.